Moses is being treated by God like no other man had been treated in the Old Testament. He's a mighty man. God used him, but he didn't know it. He didn't know. He didn't have. He made excuse after excuse after excuse not to go. But these are the closing words of God to Moses. And God calls him to go down to Egypt. Set his people free. He's going to be God's deliverer. He's going to be the one that sets his people free. He says the type of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the way he is. He went down to set his people free. And the Pharaoh, God's going to harden his heart and he's not going to let his people go. But Moses was the first man that was ever formally called of God to go into what we call the ministry. To go into the ministry, to go into the service of the Lord. And you remember this, the law of first mention. Wherever God, how God visits a man and calls a man, that's generally the way he does all the time afterward. But here's the thing, when God called Moses here, like he said there in verse 12, now therefore go, and I'll be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Now remember this, there's no training, you cannot train the natural man, just no training of how natural a man may be and however kind of training he gets will fit him for the service of God and for the work of God. It just can't be done. You can go to every seminary that they are. He can learn a lot of things. He can learn the Bible. He can learn prophecy. You can teach him to do a lot of things. But it doesn't natural. All the education in the world does not fit a man for the work of God. All the training in the world cannot fit a man for the work of God. And the wisdom, even like Moses, the wisdom of Egypt didn't avail him anymore. It didn't avail him. All the wisdom that he got while he was down in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house, didn't amount to nothing. Didn't avail him anything. And then we went off to the backside of the desert. He is back there by himself. And a lot of folks like solitude. They like, you know, and that's the way the monks and the monasteries and all these, they like to go off. And they want to be, they think that this spirituality is going off in solitude. But he didn't get no, he wasn't just being in the backside of the desert, and the solitude in the desert never fit him for the kingdom of God. And when the Lord appeared to Moses, he was full of unbelief and self-will like every other man is. Full of unbelief and self-will. He was self-will that caused him to kill that man in Egypt. And when the Lord found him, he was just like every natural man that there is, full of unbelief and self-will. If he has any faith, if he has any courage, if he has any ability to obey, to be used of God, and Moses lacked every one of these things. He didn't have no faith. He didn't have no courage. He wouldn't obey the Lord. And Moses lacked all these things. Well, what in the world is going to fit him then for the ministry to go down into Egypt? Grace, and only grace can fit a man for the ministry. Only grace can do that. Nature can't do it, only grace can do it. And look how the Lord prepared Moses, his servant. First thing is this what God does. He dealt with him personally. Dealt with him personally. Directly with the one who was called to be his ambassador and go represent him down in Egypt. God dealt with him personally, directly. Steve was telling us this evening back there in the men's meeting, a little girl got off the bus and she said, the teenager's back there cussing. And said, how do you know? And what are you going to do about it? She said, well, because I'm a Christian. She's about 7 years old, said, I'm a Christian. Who told you he's a Christian? My granny. And that's about the way about everybody is. Granny told them. Mama told them. Daddy told them. Daddy was a preacher, so I'll be a preacher. We'll just hand it down, hand it down, hand it down. But when God calls a man, when he called Moses, God met him. God spoke directly to him. And God's the one who called him to be his ambassador to go down there. God revealed his holiness to him. God revealed his covenant relationship to him. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Jacob. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of your fathers. I'm the God who saved Abraham. I'm the God who saved Isaac. I'm the God who saved Jacob. I'm the God who sent Jacob down into Egypt. I am God. And he showed him his compassion for his elect people. Oh, I see their afflictions. I see their sorrow. I see their troubles. I see their afflictions. I see everything about them. Everything about them. And oh my. And he declared his self-sufficiency. He says, Moses said, who am I going to say send me? He said, you tell him the great I am. He read it tonight. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, earth, the sea, and all deep places. And there when God said, I am, he declared his self-sufficiency. And I am self-contained, I have all power, I exist eternally, from eternity to eternity. There's never a place or time I don't exist. Go into the heavens, I'm there. Go into hell, I'm there. Go into the darkness, I'm there. Go to the sick bed, I'm there. Wherever you're at. Moses, when you go down there, I am's there. Where's I am? Everywhere. And oh, there was a full revelation of God's person and character that he gave to Moses. And that's what a man, you know, he can't go unless he has some understanding of who God is. He can't. There ain't no sin. If you can't tell who God is, what's the use of going? If you don't know who God is, what are you going to say about him? Preachers get up and say, what are they going to say about God? Well, know this. Our Heavenly Father loves you. And we do too. Oh, listen, God has a dream and a plan for your life. If you'll just get in it. Just get in it. But that's not the way he made himself known to Moses. He said, Moses, I've got a wonderful plan for your life. You know what you're going to do? You're going to go and tell everybody how much I want to do for them down in Egypt, but if they'll just let me, I'll bring them up. No, no. God makes himself known, and he makes himself known one way. And you cannot, you know why men can't say the right thing about God? Because they don't know him. If you don't know him, you can't describe him right. If you don't know Christ, you can't describe him. If you don't know what he did, you can't tell what he did. If you don't know who he did it for, you can't tell who he did it for. I mean, there's an order to God's way of doing things and the way of it manifested himself. Isaiah said, when I saw the Lord, that's the first thing that's got to happen. You don't see your sin and then you go to Christ. You see Christ, and that's when you see your sin. And oh, and I tell you what, God gave him a definite call. And God promised Moses, he said he would be with him. And that he would fulfill his purpose in Moses. And third thing is about God calling Moses, was the Lord blessed him with and gave him the ability for the work that he would call him to do. He gave him the ability to do what God called him to do. He gave him the power to work miracles. Nobody else could. God gave him the power to work miracles. And you know how Moses responded to the Lord's call? You know how he responded to the Lord's call? Look over here in chapter 3 and verse 11. It's the first thing he said when the Lord appeared to him. It's the first sentence. When God appeared to him, out of that burning bush. Here's Moses' first response. He'd go, God said, I'm going to send you down to Pharaoh and bring my people out. And Moses said unto God, who am I? Who am I? Who am I, Lord, that a king should bleed and die for? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? That's the first thing. That's the first thing. Who in the world am I? Who am I? A fellow who thinks he's something when he's nothing. The Bible said he deceives himself. And then look what he does the second time in verse 13 of here chapter 3. Oh my, he said, and Moses shows a little fear here. He says, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and they shall say and say unto them, what you tell me, said the God of my fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, what is his name? You know, I'm afraid to go if I don't know who's sending me. And that's a good thing. If you don't know who's sending you, don't go. Just don't go. If you don't know who's sending you and you ain't got nothing to say, don't go. Have you ever seen a preacher get up and he had such pressure on him, or something was so involved in something or something like that, he'd preach just a little while and just close his Bible and say, listen, I ain't got nothing to say. I'm just too nervous, or I'm too afraid right now. And sit down. I've seen that happen twice. And he's a grace preacher both times. I've seen it happen twice. It takes a lot of grace for a man to say, listen, I'm too nervous. I don't have anything to say. What I've got to say is the wrong thing now. So he just closed his Bible and said, sit down. It takes a lot of grace to do that. And that's what Moses is saying. He's trying to find every reason in the world not to go. Not to go. He's trying to find every reason in the world not to go. And then look at his unbelief. Then over here in chapter 4 and verse 1. Here's Moses' response to God's call. Then look at his unbelief. God done told him, said, they're going to hear you and they're going to believe you. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they won't believe me. They won't believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they'll say, the Lord not appeared unto you. That's the first thing, what it amounts to here is pride. He said, if I go down there and they won't believe me, then they're going to turn around and say, you didn't appear to me, so here I'm going to be made to look like a fool, and I'm standing there with nothing. I'm going to look like a fool. That was his whole problem, was his pride and his self-righteousness. And that's what actually boils down to. And then look what he says here. Let's look at this call of Moses in verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, this is his fourth objection now, fourth thing that he says. Oh Lord, I am not eloquent. I'm not a man of words. Neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. I talk slow. I can't put things together just the way I ought to. That's what he's telling the Lord. And I tell you, this is true. A lot of people suppose a gift of oratory. And Mr. Spurgeon, oh my goodness, what oratory he had. Oh, he had oratory. And men suppose that oratory is a great prerequisite for the ministry. You got to be trained in rhetoric. And the next word I was going to say, elocution. So I said rhetoric and elocution, how to say words right. Take your time, pronounce your words just right. And all people think that that's going to be what it takes, as though dead men in sins can be quickened by enticing words of man's wisdom. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Oh no, we're not. That's why Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I didn't come to you in the words of man's wisdom. I didn't come with enticing words. I didn't come in eloquence. I didn't come in oratory. I come in demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. That's what I come. If you want to know if God's with me, listen to what I got to say. I'm going to preach Christ to you. Oh my. And then God rebuked him now. God rebuked him. And the Lord said there in verse 11 unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Who's made man's mouth? Moses. Or who maketh the dumb? Who makes people not able to speak? Or who has the ability to cause a man to hear or be deaf? Or cause a man to see or be blind? Am I not the Lord? Huh? Did Moses actually believe God didn't know what he was doing in calling him? And God's ways is radically, radically different from man's. Radically different. Man, he wants to call somebody that appears to be something. You know, there's probably 50 or 60% of the churches in America now that you can't get called to the ministry in them and pastor them unless you're a doctor. You got to have a doctor before your name. Or you got to go to a certain school. Listen, we went to this school and that school and all that kind of thing. And so you can't even, almost every church has a doctor so-and-so in it. And I tell you, that's an LLD, Doctor of Literature. Doctor of Letters. And I tell you, God said, God chose not the mighty. He chose the weak to make the mighty look like they ain't nobody to him. Who's mighty like God? Who wants to talk up and say, I'm mighty in the scriptures. I'm mighty in the word of God. I'm mighty in the gospel. God said, oh no, no, no. I'm going to choose the weakest thing I can find. No, and that's what Moses said. I'm too weak to do anything. He chose the weak. Confounds the foolish. Chooses the weak to confound the mighty. And chooses nobodies. And I tell you what, if you think you're somebody, oh my soul. Listen, that's one thing I do. I don't know much, but I know this about God's people. Every one of them thinks that they don't amount to nothing. Everybody, the person sitting next to them is better than they are. Ain't that right? That's what you think. Everybody in here is better than I am. I certainly hope people's not like me. Because you so love and so esteem one another better than yourself. We realize that we ain't nothing. And I tell you, that's why. And he said, who makes you to differ? That's what God's telling me. Who makes you to differ? What have you got that you didn't receive? And you know when Paul, when they first apprehended him, you know what they did? They sent a fella, a whole bunch of them got together in Acts 24, and they went down there and hired a big orator named Tertullus. And he's going to go down there and he's going to make this great charge against the Apostle Paul. And he laid out all these charges with all of his oratory and all that. And you know what Paul did? He just stood up and said, well, I'm very thankful that I can answer for myself. And never bothered him a bit. And that's why, you know, they told the apostle. They told him, he said, you know what, Paul? He said, your speech is contemptible. And your bodily presence is so weak. Why in the world do you even bother? You know what he said? When I get there, you're going to find out that it's not me, but God's word that you're going to have to deal with. But that's what they said about him. Oh, your speech is contemptible. You don't even know how to use words, Paul. And your bodily presence is so, it don't amount to nothing. You ought not even stand up. But oh, what did God do with that man? What did God do with that man? I told you all about the time Wayne Boyd, before he came up to Michigan, he was out in Oregon, and this fellow went off. They sat under his ministry for a while, and this fellow went off, went to school, and they come back. And they sat under his ministry for about a month, and finally they said, we're leaving, Wayne. He said, why? Because you're not educated enough to help us anymore. You're not educated enough to help us anymore. And that's what they said about the Lord Jesus Christ. How this man know this stuff having learned letters? Never having learned letters. Oh my. And that's why God said, who's made man's mouth? And what he's telling Moses is, I'll overcome everything that's wrong with you. It's not you, it's me in you. It's not you, it's me for you. It's not you, it's me calling you. I'll overcome everything that's wrong about you. There's too much wrong about you. If you just go by yourself, you're going to be in a mess. But I tell you, I can fix everything that's wrong with you. I can fix you. And that's what he's telling about. If the perfection of our physical senses, seeing, hearing, talking, and all these things that God blesses us with, he also is so do our imperfections. And now look what God says to him in verse 12. I told you now, have not I the Lord? Now therefore go. I've heard enough. Now therefore go. And I'll be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Oh my. I'll be with your mouth. All the education, all the greatest vocabulary that a man can come up with will not amount to anything unless the Lord is with his mouth. And the Lord puts right things in a man's mouth. Look what he put in his mouth down here in verse 21. And Moses got down into Egypt. He said, this is what I want you to say. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return unto Egypt, see that thou doest all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I put in your hand. But I'm going to harden his heart. And this is what you're going to say to Pharaoh. Israel's my son, even my firstborn. I made him to be the father of this nation. Israel. Jacob. Israel. He's the firstborn. He's the one that I made this nation of Israel from. Made him out. He's my firstborn. And he said, and this is what you're going to say unto Pharaoh. Let my son go. He wasn't supposed to go in front of Pharaoh and say, now Pharaoh, you know, you're a smart man. You're a fine fella. And you know, I know you're doing the best you can and everything. But I tell you what I'd like for you to do. No, he said, let my son go. He didn't ask him if he'd let his son go. He said, told him. When God says something, you see what he says. That he may serve me, and if you refuse to let him go, you know what I'm going to do? This is something. Now, you think about going and telling somebody this. If you don't let him go, I'm going to kill your firstborn child. Oh, I believe he'd get my attention if he told me that. But it didn't. It didn't. Then look in verse 13 here now. Look what Moses says now. And oh, he said, I'll go with you and be your mouth and teach you what you say. And he said, oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And you know what he's saying here? Send anybody but me. That's what he said. Send anybody but me. Select anybody you will, Lord, somebody else. Moses is still unwilling to act as the Lord's ambassador. And look what happens now. Oh, if you will, send somebody whom you will. Just don't send me. Send whoever you will. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. God said, I listen. I've listened enough out of you. That's what it amounts to. And that's why, you know, Lord, let me speak one more time to what Abraham did. One more time. Can I say one more thing? Can I say one more thing? When Abraham was before the Lord, when they went down to Sodom. And all he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? And I know that he can speak well. He can speak well. And also, behold, he's coming forth to meet you. And when he sees you, he's going to be glad in his heart. Your brothers. And thou shalt speak unto him. Now listen to what happens. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. God said, I'm going to put words in your mouth. Moses said, I can't talk. But he said, I'm going to put words in your mouth. And watch what he says. And I'll be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I'll teach you what you shall do. So what he has to do is he's still got to speak for God. But who's he going to speak to? God's going to put in his mouth what he's got to tell Aaron, because Aaron's only going to tell what Moses tell him to say. So he's got to end up speaking for God, even though somebody else. You know, it don't make no difference whose mouth that God's using. And that's what he's telling Moses here. Oh, he didn't, nothing was gained in power. No more virtue or efficacy in one man's mouth more than another. And old Moses was ready to go when the Lord assured him of his presence and a cooperation of a feeble man like himself. Though God assured him again and again and again of his presence, he acted in unbelief always. But all God's anger was tempered with mercy to strengthen his weak faith. And the Lord gives him another sign that he'd be met by Aaron, his brother, coming to meet him. And you know, and he said there in verse 16, and he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be thee instead of a mouth. And listen to this, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. You're going to be speaking to him what he's supposed to say and what he's supposed to do. He said, you're going to be in my stead. And that's why Paul said, I beseech you in God's stead, in Christ's stead. And when God begins to work, he works at both ends. What's what we call prevenient grace. It's like when the eunuch was left Jerusalem and going down through that reading out of the scroll of Isaiah. God was working over here in Philip and both of them at the same time. And so they, when they brought together, neither one of them was surprised. God works at both ends. That's why he said, Moses, you're going to go down here, but I got somebody there to help you. You're going to go down here, but I've got somebody, your brother, to meet you. No, he didn't. And Aaron, God had the spirit of Aaron saying, now you go over there. It's like Saul and Ananias. It's like Cornelius and Peter. You know, God said, there's going to be a man going up here tomorrow to preach to you. And they was waiting for him to come. Didn't know who it was going to come. And while he was telling somebody's going to come preach to you, God's telling Peter, said, you're going to go up to this fellow's house and preach tomorrow. God don't make no mistakes. And I tell you what, this fellow knows what's going to happen. This fellow knows what's going to happen. And they don't know when it's going to happen, but God brings it to pass. God brings it to pass. Huh? And then God told him, he said, okay, verse 18. And Moses went and returned to Jethro. He was on the backside of the desert now. He went home, returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they are yet alive, be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. You know, this is when he went to his father-in-law. What a very commendable act. Jethro had taken Moses in when he was a fugitive. Pharaoh was on his trail, was going to intend to kill him. So he was a fugitive when Jethro took him in. And Jethro turned around and gave him his daughter for a wife. Provided him a home and work for 40 years. Provided him a home, provided him a wife, provided him a job. He took care of Jethro's flock. That's a commendable thing. Somebody does something good for you, no matter who it is. Thank them for it. Tell them you appreciate it. And that's what he's saying here. And Moses requested. He was thoughtful of others. He appreciated the blessings and favors he had received. And beloved, our spiritual calling, being believers, does not absolve us of our common responsibilities of life to treat people and with respect and commend them when they need to be commended. Be thankful for it. And you know what Jethro said to him? Moses, you go and you go in peace. The Lord bless you. Huh? And then look what happens here. I'm going to wind this up here in a minute. And oh, the Lord said, go. And the Lord said in verse 19, go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which took your life, sought your life. Moses took his wife and his sons, and they started back down into Egypt. And Moses, look what it said in the last part of verse 20. He had the rod of God. It used to be Moses' rod. God said to Moses, what do you got in your hand? A rod. Throw it down. And then from then on, it's known as the rod of God. It's God's rod. It's what God's going to use. And I tell you, and the Lord said to Moses, when you get down there, you do all them wonders that I've told you about. And he took his wife and his sons, and away he went. And went back down to Egypt. Now look what happens. And down in verse, they left in verse 24. And it came to pass by the way in the end. They went through an end, by an end, that the Lord met him. And listen to this. Sought to kill him. What? He just called him. Now he seeks to kill him. Why? God's holy. And what did he do? Moses had failed to fulfill his responsibility over his house. He knew that circumcision was a token of the covenant that God had with Israel. And Moses had failed his responsibility over his house. He hadn't circumcised his sons because of his wife. She didn't like it. She didn't like Moses' religion. She didn't like Moses' God. And that's what you'll find later in Genesis 18, or Exodus 18. He said, you're just going back to the house. You're just going back to daddy. She didn't like his religion. She didn't like God. She didn't like anything about it. And look what had happened now. And his wife, that's why they weren't circumcised. And that's why God said, listen, Moses, you know what you're supposed to do and you haven't done it. And look what she said. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet, cast it at Moses' feet, and said, surely you're a bloody husband to me. Your religion's a bloody religion and I don't like it. Your religion's a bloody religion and I don't like it. It's different than anybody else. It's different the way I was raised. And listen, so he let him go. Evidently, God held him. God put him down. He wasn't able to even get up. So God let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art unto me because of the circumcision. I don't like this, Moses. I don't have nothing to do. And that's why Moses didn't do it. That's why he didn't do it. And Moses down in verse 27. Moses on his way into Egypt. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. Boy, that's where we spend most of our life, ain't it? In the wilderness. Go into the wilderness and to meet Moses. And he went and met him. Look where he met him at. In the Mount of God. Where God was. He's there where God is. In the Mount of God. Moses where God is. And that's where they met. And oh, guess what they done? They kissed. They kissed. They kissed. You say, men's not supposed to kiss. I kiss men all the time. I kiss men all the time. I kiss them on their cheek. That's the scripture says, greet ye brethren with a holy kiss. They're holy and I'm holy by Christ. Why shouldn't we greet one another with a kiss? Because it shows how much we love them. And that's what they loved one another. And they saw one another. And oh my. And I tell you what, they met in the Mount of God because that's where all communion and service is done, is in the presence of God. You come out from the presence of God and then you go. He was out there. That's where they met. They left from there. And they went down. And oh, they got there. Moses told Aaron, this wasn't a look. The first thing Moses told Aaron, all the words of the Lord who had sent him. And all the signs which he had commanded. He took that rod and started showing all the signs that God commanded him to show. Aaron saw them with his own eyes. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. Representatives of the people. Oh my. And did all the signs in the sight of the people that the Lord had told him to do. And look, how did they react? And when the people, and they saw all the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. God told them they're going to believe. He said, Moses, they're going to believe you. They'll see these signs. They'll see these wonders. And oh, just like he told him would. And oh my. And they believed. And when they heard, And that's what you got to do. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, oh, he got to visit you. Oh, he visits you. Visit the children of Israel. And that he looked upon their afflictions. He saw what happened to them. They bowed their heads and worshiped. And when we hear the gospel, we hear that God saw our affliction, saw our burdens, saw our cries, saw our sin, saw all that was wrong with them. Somebody come and preach to us, and we heard that God has visited us in His blessed Son. And we see Him. We bow our heads. Oh God. Oh God, who's like unto you? Who's like unto you? And I tell you what. There's nothing, nothing like worshiping God. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like hearing the gospel. Nothing like it. Nothing in this world even comparable to it. A little a few of us here, and oh my goodness, God in His mercy lets us hear. Let us believe. And we bow and we worship. Oh, blessed Savior, blessed, blessed Savior. Thank you for allowing us to meet here again today. Oh, Lord, you're so patient, so kind, so gracious, so full of mercy. Lord, we come unworthy, no abilities, no strength in ourselves. But Lord, you stretch forth your hand and you lift us up and you hold us up. And you instruct us and you help us. Oh, Lord. Oh, God bless your holy name. Lord Jesus, thank you. Oh, bless your glorious name. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. Well, let's turn to 51 in the hymn book. We'll stand and sing that and then we'll be at liberty to go. So, 51 in the hymn book. Oh, I tell you, the Lord is so good. So good. How gracious. How gracious.
Praise the Savior, ye who know Him, who can tell how much we owe Him, could we surrender to Him all we are and have. Jesus is the name that charms us, He for conflict fits and
you remember the folks that has been mentioned tonight.